everyone, and welcome once again to the Nintendo Fever podcast. This is episode 16. I'm your host, Holly Felmuth, and I am joined tonight by Matt Desend.
Can you feel E3? It's almost here.
Indeed, and I am also joined by a very, very special guest, straight from his YouTube channel, Bradley News 11, Bradley Cragen.
Howdy there, folks.
We are so happy to have Bradley here. So in case you guys don't know who he is, you should. He's a really great YouTuber. I guess probably all you have to search on YouTube is Bradley News 11.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's his channel. So go check him out. He's all Nintendo all the time, and he is hilarious as well, and one of the many reasons we are so happy to have him on. So
yeah, thank you. I've been a fan of your channel for a long time because you did a lot of the Miiware, or not Miiware, Wii U eShop games, and whenever I was interested in like looking up a review on something, you always seemed to have the review before anybody else did, so I was always able to watch yours, and I subscribed to your channel a long time ago, but I'm one of those people that just watches the videos. I don't actually comment on any videos.
Oh.
I'm much too shy. That's who I am.
Well, thanks, man.
No problem.
Thanks for having me on here, too.
Oh, man, we're happy to have you.
Yep, absolutely. So today, we're going to be talking about our E3 2015 predictions. Today is Saturday, and tomorrow is Sunday. It's the big Super Smash Bros. Presentation and also the Nintendo World Championships. However, this podcast probably will not be published until Monday, so we can't really talk much about that, except that there were some characters who were leaked, and by now I'm sure y'all know, especially after the official presentation, who those characters are.
We heard about it through the leak, and I would like to hear both your guys' opinions on leaked information like this. Me personally, I woke up from, you know, a dead sleep, grabbed my phone, checked my timeline like I always do, and instantly it says Ryu and Roy found in the data code or whatever, and I just realized, like, oh my gosh, this was leaked information. We weren't supposed to find this out until tomorrow, and it kind of killed a little bit of the joy that I would have had if I would have found out about it on Sunday, because I'm, for one, really excited to play as Ryu, and I would have loved to have that, like, that big reveal happen tomorrow. And now that I just found out about it when I was waking up, you know, on my cell phone, it's not nearly as exciting. I'm still happy, but I would have much rather see a big reveal and been surprised.
I agree. I mean, I could have kind of gotten away from seeing it. Like, I saw, when I looked at Twitter this morning, it was a little later on in the morning, I guess. And people were basically just saying something about, you know, leaked characters. And I thought I could totally stay away from that if I wanted to, but I'm doing a podcast tonight. I should probably know who they are just because, you know, because. So, but I agree. It really kind of deflates the whole experience of having the presentation. So, Bradley.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I mean, I woke up today and checked my cell phone and I saw Ryu and Roy. Yeah, it kind of just lowers the hype for the Smash Direct or presentation, whatever it's going
to
be.
We still have to assume that there's going to be, you know, more things that they're going to announce. Hopefully, maybe like the Miiverse stage or the tournament mode. But it seems like, and I don't know if you guys feel the same, but those are probably the only two characters they were going to announce tomorrow. Because if there was more, then don't you think they would have found them as well?
Yeah. It's the patch that includes Lucas. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think that's everything that's supposed to be in there. All the costumes and stuff like that.
How about the new stage? Was there was a new, like, Ryu-themed stage or Street Fighter-themed stage that was leaked as well, right?
And Kirby.
Mm-hmm.
Kirby? What the heck? I guess I didn't get all of it.
Dream Land 64.
Yeah.
Okay.
One based on that. Or that's the one from Melee, right?
Or is it from 64 too?
Oh, yeah.
The 64 version?
Both.
Yeah, I think there was that same stage on the GameCube and the 64. I could be wrong.
Right? Oh, okay.
Maybe. Oh, man. You know what? I was actually going to specifically predict that they'd bring back, what is it called? Oh my gosh, Brinstar Depths from Melee. Do you guys remember that one?
I'm not familiar with it.
It's
I didn't play a giant rock, and it spun
around through the whole fight.
Okay, yeah, I know what you're talking about now.
That was an incredible stage.
Shoot me, but I don't have Melee.
Oh.
I grew up with Brawl, actually.
Yes.
I'm kicking you out of the call right now.
I grew up on the 64.
I grew up on both. And then Brawl. Which I was pretty much grown up at that time. But anyway. So yeah, I think we all kind of agree that the whole idea of information leaking and it actually being like legitimate leaks is kind of a bad thing. So
yeah.
Oh yeah. And totally.
I don't know what the proper procedure is that people should kind of demonstrate on things like Twitter, or you as a news reporter, Bradley, who does a YouTube show, or us as podcasters. You know, obviously we're not going to be talking, or there, you know, everyone that's listening is listening on Monday, Tuesday, or whatever the case may be. You're not going to hear about it the same day that we found out about the leak. So we have the ability to kind of say this information with that kind of hindsight of like, I wish I never would have found this out, where if luckily someone was able to avoid all of this, they watched this massive direct, you know, Smash Direct, and then they listen to this on Monday, it's not a big deal to them. But I do wonder what length, because you're going to get hits because of it, right? Like, if you put Ryu and Roy in your title and put a thumbnail on your YouTube channel, you will get probably more hits than if you just say, spoiler, somebody might be in this game, and then you put a black screen. You know, I mean, what's your opinion on doing things like that when it comes to your ability to put things up instantaneously?
It really depends on what it is, I suppose. Like, if it's spoilers in a game, like a final boss or something like that, and it's in the thumbnail, that's kind of annoying.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't really bother me about the Ryu and Roy, because I've already seen it a whole bunch.
Yeah, it blew up. It blew up big. It was the number one and the number two trending topic on Twitter in the morning, at least.
I guess that's kind of good news.
It is. It's exciting that this is such a hot topic and people care so much about it. But it is kind of like, it ruins that...
the magic.
Yeah, it does. It ruins a little bit of the magic.
The question is Nintendo going... well, I don't know. The presentation is probably already set in stone, and they're going to show it, and it's going to be a little bit of a letdown because we already know what's coming from it.
Oh, yeah.
It's surprising that they did an update the day before, because that's when people are going to look for that stuff.
I wonder if that was a mess-up.
I wonder, too, because wasn't it the last few times that they did like something like this, like the update was available the day of, not the day before or the day after. It was available the day of.
Yeah, someone pushed the launch button too early or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Jeez, Nintendo, way to go. We also got the, obviously, Hyrule Warriors on 3DS.
Oh, yeah, that too. Yeah.
Leaked early.
I don't know why that's happening. Bad idea.
Me neither. Oh, my gosh, I'm so... it just baffles my mind, and I hate it.
I think it's a bad idea. I think that anyone that cared for that game, bought a Wii U... or has a Wii U, and they're already playing it on their Wii U, I don't think that just because the install base is bigger on the 3DS, it means that more people are going to be like, oh, well, I really want to play this. Like, I just don't feel like that game has... I just don't think people care that much about it. Like, I don't know. I could be wrong, because I didn't even want it for the Wii U. It just didn't... it wasn't something I was, like, going to go out and buy that day or anything. But I just don't think it has the kind of legs that Nintendo wants it to have. I think as a... home console game, it works really well. I don't think it's a good idea to try to make it portable.
The only reason I want it to be on the portable is because of how many hours you sink into that game, that being able to take it on the go is pretty nice.
It'll be interesting to see like how people latch onto it if they do latch onto it for, you know, reasons like that, obviously. But it it'll just be interesting to find out, will people want to do it again if they've already bought it for the Wii U, obviously? Or if people that missed out on the Wii U, if they're like, oh, well, I want to get it now for my 3DS. I'm just interested to see. I really want to know how it's going to sell. I'm interested.
If it was like a brand new game, I would be more excited for it. But it's basically just a port.
Yeah.
Just with some new characters, as far as we know.
Yeah, true. I guess, you know, I guess there was leaked gameplay leaked, but we didn't get any of the leaked gameplay. All we saw was pictures, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I haven't seen any gameplay of it. I've only seen pictures of it. New characters, I am interested to see how well it runs, just because it did look like a very frantic game on the Wii U. How will that hold up for the 3DS, which, while it is a decent powered system, it's nothing compared to the Wii U. I mean, so...
I think it should have been a new 3DS exclusive. I don't know. That's what I thought.
That I agree with, too.
That's what I assumed from the beginning, and kind of actually quoting a video of Bradley's, I'm worried that my 3DS will blow up. Actually, I have a new 3DS, so it'll probably be fine, but original 3DSs are probably going to explode, you know? So,
unless they really dumb it down.
Yeah, which will, I don't know, not a good thing. I just think it's odd. Anyway, I actually just thought of something. We could probably just quickly throw in our votes, just for fun, for who we think is going to win the Nintendo World Championships.
I don't know any of the people.
anyone listening can laugh at us because it will have already happened.
I only know one person.
Who's that?
Aaron. Ego Raptor, right?
Oh. He's from Grump Games?
Yeah, Game Grumps.
Game Grumps. Okay.
That's the only one I know.
I didn't even know he was in it. He's my guess.
I'm kind of into the speedrunning thing, and so I recently watched The Mexican Runner. You might have seen him being revealed in Nintendo's video as one of the contestants. I recently subscribed to his channel and I actually got to watch him in action. And not that he's like all that great or anything like that, but he just seems like a nice guy, good personality, and he's very good at video games, especially NES classics. And so I'm just going to vote for him just because. But, you know, I know who Cosmo Wright is, and hang on, maybe that's all I know. Dang it.
Yeah, I have no idea.
No idea. I'm excited to watch it, though, just because I love the idea that they brought back the Nintendo World Championships. I'm annoyed that I was unable to participate in it because they didn't bring it to the Best Buy that is local to me. But, I don't know, I hope they keep doing these kind of exciting tournaments at E3 because us as gamers, I feel, love E3. And we want as many opportunities to go to E3. And it would be amazing not only to go there to see and play games that are coming out, you know, in the coming months and year, but to compete on a stage that grand for something as cool as the Nintendo World Championships. Like, this is just a really cool idea.
Yeah. How many stores was it, like, limited to? Like, 8 stores?
It was like eight. Yeah.
Yeah, that's... I understand why. It's just kind of annoying.
Very, very annoying.
Yeah, people have been making fun of Nintendo for the past few days. You know, 8 stores, only in one country in the whole world, and you're still calling it the Nintendo World Championships? Really? But anyway, go the Mexican Runner. I'm rooting for you. And if he loses badly or something like that, you guys can laugh at me as you listen to this, but... we will move on now to our digital event predictions. That's kind of the big thing that we want to talk about and predict about today. We did get one email from a listener on this. I got to pull up the pronunciation because I messed it up last time. Makala Kaba, I hope I got that right that time, sent in an email. And these are some of his predictions. He actually, 2 weeks ago, I believe, sent in an email that was basically asked, what do you think Nintendo will announce at E3? What Nintendo E3 segment are you most excited for? Do you think Nintendo will announce a new Paper Mario for Wii U? So that was his kind of overall E3 question. Obviously, we will get to those without even...
trying.
Yeah, trying. One interesting thing is what Nintendo E3 segment are you most excited for? So we can specifically talk a little bit about that. But some of his predictions include a new Paper Mario for Wii U, Metroid for 3DS and Wii U, a trailer for Zelda U, Mario Galaxy 3 announced, Fire Emblem IF or IF. I don't know how people are pronouncing it.
I think it's
that. IF. Gets a release date and a new trailer. Star Fox will be shown off extensively, including an online multiplayer, more DLC for Splatoon, Mario Kart 8, and Smash Brothers. And he has this one extra question that he sent in this week. During E3, what foods do you guys eat? Does Nintendo Fever actually attend E3 at Los Angeles? How do you celebrate E3? And he asks one more question that I think we will save for the last of the podcast because it doesn't have anything to do with E3. So, all that said, is there anything that anyone would immediately just like, you're dying to comment on it because it's so ludicrous?
Well, I'm going to go first just real quick, and I want to talk about what foods do you eat? Do we actually attend E3, and how do we celebrate it? And I'd just like to kind of throw this out real quick. I personally love to just get a bag of chips, a soda pop that I enjoy, and I just like to relax. Just very, very calm and collective and enjoy everything that's happening because it's just very much, it's just a ton of fun. And I do it every year so far since, I want to say, 2005, I think, was like the first year that like I really sat down and watched it live. And then every year since, like, I've always luckily been able to have that time off to be able to watch it. This year is the very first year that I have to work on the day of E3 that Nintendo is doing their press conference. So my cell phone is being turned off. I'm turning off Twitter. I will not answer anybody who talks to me. Leave me alone, everybody in the whole world. Like, I will wait until I get home at 6 p.m. on Tuesday night to watch E3. I'm very excited to do that. Do we actually attend E3? This year, we did not attend E3. As our site continues to grow, we're going to be able to get a higher web ranking, which allows us to get things like media press passes. And when we're able to get a media press pass to actually go there to attend, so we're able to bring news to the website, for you wonderful listeners and readers, we'll be able to do things like that. I actually do the majority of my writing on the sister site called GameGravy.com, and this year we're not going to be attending for Game Gravy either, but next year the goal is that hopefully somebody from Nintendo Fever and Game Gravy will be able to go and attend E3, because it is an important place to be during this time in the industry, where there's all these sorts of advancements and crazy leaps of video games and technology and what it means and the art of it. And it'll be just exciting next year to see those things. And hopefully me, Holly, Bradley, I don't know if you are able to attend through your YouTube channel or anything like that, but this stuff is just exciting. And I want to be able to be there hopefully next year.
Mm-hmm. I would like to go one time.
Do you know if you can go through YouTube because of your news channel and stuff like that? I mean, did you apply, I guess, for a media pass?
I didn't apply.
Oh, you should have applied. I mean, I know you got a good followership and people care about your opinion of it. I think that people would have definitely stood behind you. I know I would have enjoyed to hear what your thoughts were.
Yeah, thanks, man. I would like to go. I mean, I just wanted to stay home because I needed to report all the news, do videos and stuff like that. So
that's actually what my next kind of question was going to be, like doing the YouTube, the YouTube channel, of course. Are you going to be watching it and kind of frantically trying to, you know, make sure you're ready for your video at the same time so you can't like kick back and relax?
Yeah, that's kind of the love-hate relationship with E3 when you're a journalist or something like that. You have to report all the news, but you want to watch it as well. Yeah, I'm going to be taking notes for my video.
That's how I am with the blog. I hope I can just watch it through, though. When it comes to a blog, it's not as much pressure, I have to admit. So I'm hoping that I'll be able to just watch it through and then maybe do a couple of posts to help out everyone else who is going to be frantically putting together posts for the site. So, you know what? I have never gotten food, though. I've never thought about getting snacks or anything like that to watch E3. Never.
The only thing I do is get some coffee.
Just so you can... Well, I don't know. I just feel like there has to be a reason for coffee.
I'm addicted to coffee, man.
Okay, just the addiction. All right. Makes perfect sense. Okay, so that pretty much covers that question, I think. There are a couple of predictions, though, that we got here in this listener mail that I think are a little bit far-fetched. A trailer for Zelda U.
Hey, man. That's what I was predicting.
I actually do remember that, because if Nintendo didn't do anything at E3 for Zelda, anything at all, even a little teaser trailer.
That's all I'm predicting.
We're going to get something for the 3DS. That's why I do believe that, as much as it pains me to say this, like, we're not going to see anything about Zelda for the Wii U unless they're discussing something on the downloadable space or the virtual console, you know, downloadable virtual console or something eShop related. But I think we'll get a new Zelda for the 3DS at least spoken about. But Zelda for Wii U is, you know, it's not the same as what we saw before. You know, something's going on with Zelda U. And
yeah,
who knows?
Huh. So Bradley, defend your position. Why do you think we're going to get something on Zelda U?
Well, I think we're going to get a trailer for Zelda U because Nintendo doesn't always tell us the truth when it comes to stuff that's upcoming, like smartphone games. They said they weren't going to have smartphone games, but then they announced it. And I don't think they're going to talk about Zelda Wii U, like, extensively. Maybe at, like, the very end of the digital event, they'll have a trailer, a teaser, another teaser, like last E3. It's similar to what they did in the Nintendo Direct for A Link Between Worlds. At the very end of one of those, they announced... Yeah, they showed a trailer for A Link Between Worlds and kind of just ended it there.
I think Matt's idea that we're going to get, like, a new Zelda for 3DS announced, I think that's crazy. You're crazy, Matt.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't know. I just feel like they're kind of doing this thing where they kind of... I mean, obviously, we got Ocarina of Time and we got Majora's Mask. The biggest reason why we got Majora's Mask is because it uses the same game engine. You know, it was something for them to make a little bit easier. Same reason why, you know, it happened the very first time. But between Ocarina of Time, I don't know why I'm saying Orc. But Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask, I'm going to have some fanboy just like, this son of a gun doesn't know what he's talking about. But but between those two games, we got A Link Between Worlds. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if we got remake, new game, remake, new game. So this year might be the year to get something else.
Huh. Well, if that's the case, I'll really be looking forward to that, at least.
When did A Link Between Worlds come out? Was that like 2 years ago?
2013. So yeah, probably about a year and a half ago, I'd say.
I don't know if we'll get another one soon.
Maybe next year.
We'll see. That's
the thing is, they can announce it this year and we won't get it till next year.
Or 2017.
Well, 2016. Well, and that is where that's the biggest problem with my idea. I agree, is just the fact that we're supposed to be getting Zelda next year on the Wii U. So why would they give us Zelda on the Wii U next year and also give us something on the 3DS? That I don't necessarily see them doing. What I'm saying is I don't see Zelda U being shown. And the reason why is because they're going to show something else Zelda related, be it for the 3DS or for the eShop, but it will not be Zelda U, just because for just this one crazy time, I'm going to believe what Nintendo says.
Don't make me sad.
Well, actually, I guess I'm kind of torn because when Bradley talks about how, I mean, if they didn't show anything on Zelda Wii U at this E3, I think the hype levels would actually kind of drop. So, and if they did surprise us, the hype levels would, you know, skyrocket. So
it would be like the end of the digital event would be like the high note, just kind of like a good send off.
Yeah.
Yeah, but imagine if we get this like by the way, there's one more thing, and then it says at the end of it like 2017. Yes, there's a lot of hype because we got to see this awesome trailer, but now we have to wait a whole year and a half. Or if it says 2016 even, what, we still have to wait 10 more months? Like, it seems like a lot of effort to make the fans happy for something they're not going to get for maybe a year.
Okay.
Me and Bradley all disappointed here.
I'm sorry.
Sigh.
So as far as other game announcements that we are kind of hoping for, let's go with, we kind of, just so you listeners know, we have like all of our little details and who basically claimed what prediction right here on our notes. And so Bradley actually pointed out the possibility of Pokken Fighters, that arcade game or whatever.
Pokken Tournament, I think.
Yes.
It's a tournament, right?
Pokken
Tournament.
I don't even know, apparently. So he brought that point up. Anything you want to mention on that? Is it coming stateside?
Well, is it coming to the Wii U at all? Right now, it's only in arcades.
I believe it is going to come to the Wii U because, like, the controller for the arcade is, like, set up perfectly to transition to the Wii U gamepad. It has, like, the D-pad. It has the face buttons and all that.
So it doesn't have one of those fancy, like, arcade sticks in place of a D-pad? Because I don't go to arcades enough, obviously.
I just know that it's, like, set up perfectly to be a Wii U game.
Okay. My big prediction is that there's going to be a Pokemon game announced for Wii U and 3DS. They're going to make, like, the next, oh my gosh, how do you even say this? So you have, like, a pair of Pokemon games, X and Y. We're going to have the next pair or just single Pokemon game for Gen 6 announced for the 3DS, plus something for Wii U that is not Pokemon Rumble U, that game. One of the top five worst games I've ever played, easily.
Really?
Yeah, I hated it.
I didn't play it.
Well, don't.
I wouldn't play it.
It was $15. I didn't want to spend that.
Actually, I think it was like $17 or $18.
Oh, yeah, it was.
It's like $17.99. Yeah. Holy cow. Way too overpriced for one thing and not even that great of a game. So
that's kind of the introduction of Amiibo, though. Kind of.
Sort
of,
yeah. NFC was the first big NFC thing. So something besides Rumble U.
So do you think that we're going to get, like, two Pokemon games for the 3DS and the Wii U that are similar, or are we going to see, like, a spinoff, that coincides with the 3DS game, or what do you mean by we're going to see a Pokemon game for both consoles?
Yeah, the Wii U is going to be on, you know, all along the same lines as, like, Pokemon Stadium. It'll work with the 3DS games, and other than that, it'll kind of be its own thing, and it will probably not be very good, but
what about Poke Park 3, or something like that?
No.
Why would you bring that
up?
Yeah.
Hey, you Pikachu, too?
Okay.
I know you want it.
Okay. I'm okay with that one.
Yeah. Some spin-off game, though. Nintendo's been publishing these crazy free-to-play Pokemon things all over the 3DS, so they've got to put something on Wii U, I feel like.
I wonder.
What are you wondering? Pokemon Snap 2?
It'd be really cool to have, like, a full-blown Pokemon game on the Wii U, like in HD and all that, with, like, 3D graphics. It'd be pretty cool.
I think it's what we all want, and
yeah.
I don't think that Nintendo doesn't give it to us because we want it so bad, and they're like, the mean kid at the playground that's like, you want it? Well, too bad. I don't think that's the reason why we don't get it. I just think they don't want to dilute the market of saying, like, you know what, Pokemon is a great game, and we understand that it's a simplistic RPG that just has a lot of depth to it that people really enjoy to play, and they like capturing the monsters, but they understand that this game, where it's, you know, gotta catch them all, gotta go collect the badges, it's better suited for handheld play. And even though handhelds are dying in the most traditional sense of that, I still feel like they're going to want to push that market. I could see them releasing a game for the 3DS that coincides with the Wii U that you can actually, and this is going to sound like craziness, especially for Nintendo, do like a cross-save type thing where you can play your same game on your 3DS that you can on your Wii U, and then you're able to, you know, save on your Wii U and continue playing on your 3DS.
That is crazy talk.
It is. It's legitimately crazy. I don't know why I just said that. It all just, what happened? I blacked out. What happened?
I was thinking maybe, what about like X2 and Y2? Similar to like Black 2 and White 2?
But put it on the Wii U, basically?
No, on the 3DS.
The 3DS, yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I'm expecting, or possibly just a single game.
Kind of like, what would it be, Z?
That's
Pokemon Z. Yeah, it would be.
That's what the whole pattern follows, so.
Yeah, that's what it would.
Moving on to a different system, though, series, let's talk a little bit about Super Mario. I'm just going to throw out there, Nintendo's going to announce a Super Mario game, not Super Mario Galaxy 3, but one developed by the Galaxy team that is exclusive to the new Nintendo 3DS. Bam.
I don't think you're crazy, but I don't think it's going to... I don't know. I guess I can't say I don't think that's going to happen. I
Nintendo needs something to sell, like, the new 3DS, like a game to sell it.
Especially considering, you know, Hyrule Warriors is not going to be exclusive for the new 3DS. I still feel like me and Holly had talked about a while back ago. I do believe that we are going to see a few. I don't know how many, but I don't think it's going to be more than one, less than four, so maybe around three, exclusive new 3DS games at E3. Not all during the digital press event, probably, but I do think throughout the week we'll hear about three exclusive games for the new Nintendo 3DS. They have to.
So, Bradley, any thoughts on Mario or the new Nintendo 3DS?
Yeah, I think we'll get some exclusive new 3DS games there. I hope they're new ones.
I was kind of doubtful about that for some reason.
There has to be, though.
Yeah.
Not too many, though. I mean, Matt, what are you predicting? Like three or four?
Yeah, three or four is a
roughly.
Lot, though. I mean,
okay.
I mean,
that is a lot. I would guess like one, maybe two.
I don't know. I feel like they have to do it because moving forward with, you know, what they're planning on doing, they used the new 3DS as a quote-unquote soft launch system. You know, it is better technology. There is more advancements to it, but they didn't do like this big blowout with it. So if they can slowly transition into making this the main system by just creeping in exclusive games to it that are coming out new, it allows people to say like, well, you know, I didn't want Xenoblade Chronicles, so I skipped that one. But, oh man, that new Mario game, I would buy a new Nintendo 3DS for that new Mario game. And us, the early adopters that got it for Xenoblade Chronicles, now have the benefit of enjoying that new Super Mario game without needing to buy a new console to play it.
Okay, so Matt's prediction, three or four announced during possibly Nintendo Treehouse Live at E3. Okay, got that right. So Bradley, if you had to put a number on it, what would the number be? How many new 3DS exclusives are we going to hear about at E3?
One or two.
Okay, we agree on that at least. Yes. Okay, so any other Super Mario games to be announced? Anything on Wii U or... the normal 3DS. I don't know what else you'd call it.
That's the other problem is like, do you really think we're going to keep hearing about Nintendo 3DS games that are only for the Nintendo 3DS? I mean, it just seems, even Hyrule Warriors 3D, we're going to hear about some sort of either exclusive mode or, like, the textures are better, like in Monster Hunter. Like, there are going to be benefits and advancements to playing it on your new Nintendo 3DS. So, I don't know. But going back to your Mario game prediction, I do think we're going to hear about a new 3D Mario game. I don't think it's going to be available this year, necessarily, but I do think it's time that we start hearing at least talk about it.
Okay, fair enough. So the next item we have on our list here actually is Animal Crossing, and Bradley was really quick to snatch that one up, so
yes.
What are your thoughts on that?
We're going to get an announcement for a Wii U version.
Is it going to be good? That's the question. Is it going to be, like, groundbreaking for the series?
Groundbreaking for the series? No.
You just never know, you know?
It will look pretty.
It will look pretty. There you go. And it'll be disappointing at the end of the day, but we're all going to sink over 100 hours into it.
And Amiibo cards. It's going to work with that game.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that.
Are we going to... Okay, so that home decorating... oh, gosh.
House Arrest, I think is what it's called.
Yeah, that one. The question is that going to be shown off at E3 at all? It's a tiny little project, so...
A release date? Oh, I know. Connectivity feature with the Wii U version.
Of Animal Crossing.
Yes.
That'd be a good way to start it. But isn't there some sort of exclusive bundle coming to Japan that is a...
Oh yeah.
Am I thinking of a different game, or was this House Arrest?
It is a full-blown retail game.
It is a full-blown retail game, and wasn't there like a new Nintendo 3DS bundle
yes.
in Japan?
Yes, yes. You reminded me of that. Yes, there is one.
There's also going to be more packs of cards to buy, I believe.
Yeah.
They're trying some pretty interesting things with these Amiibo cards. I'm interested to see how far it goes.
I think they're blind boxes of Amiibo cards.
Yeah, you get like... I'm going to look this up while we kind of talk
bags,
about it at
whatever.
The same time.
When you say blind...
You don't know what you're getting.
Okay, so like when
Booster
I used to
packs.
Go to Walmart. And,
yes.
Okay.
I don't know how I like that.
If they make this into something that, you know, is like as big as the Pokemon trading card game or some other popular trading... I don't collect cards anymore.
Me either.
But if they kind of made it into that, yeah, booster packs would be cool. Blind, whatever you guys refer to them.
Blind
as.
Bags?
Blind bags. Okay, got it.
There is a new Nintendo 3DS LL, because it's Japan, bundle that comes with a exclusive new Nintendo 3DS console with the game and then with some cards as well. So they're pushing it pretty hard in Japan. I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't do something similar to that for the U.S., but when it comes to getting something for the Wii U, like Bradley kind of predicted, as much as I would like that, I kind of think they learned their lesson, even though City Folk sold decently on the Wii. It also had a much bigger, install base, obviously. So I don't see them announcing, I don't know. I can't see them announcing a Wii U version of Animal Crossing unless it does a lot of piggybacking with the 3DS.
The only thing that really gives me hope that they're going to announce it is there was like a developer interview with one of the Animal Crossing developers, and the interviewee asked him when we were going to hear about Animal Crossing Wii U, and the remark he made it sound like we were going to hear about it sometime soon.
And E3 would be the perfect place to announce it.
Yeah,
so.
It would be.
Okay, so I can't wait to see how that turns out. And
HD goodness.
I'll laugh at whoever was wrong. All right, so just going down the list, we have Kirby. Any new Kirbys announced?
No.
Not for the 3DS, at least.
Well, yeah. There's just one for the Wii U.
Which one did we
get? Think they're...
Oh, Kirby
Rainbow Curse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh!
I forgot
wow.
about that.
I don't even count that game.
So many people loved and
I love
didn't
that game.
I'll get it someday, maybe. We'll see. I just didn't like the idea of playing a game completely on the gamepad, like almost being completely and utterly confined to the gamepad, because
yeah,
I'm not a huge gamepad fan.
But you haven't Sadly. Played you haven't played the Rainbow or not Canvas Curse yet, correct?
Right.
You need to get that. You need to get it.
I haven't played that one either.
Oh man,
okay,
you
so...
both need to get it. It's so good. It's so very good.
If it comes to the Virtual Console, the Wii U Virtual Console.
No. don't support DS games on the Wii U.
I don't see why not. I haven't tried one out yet.
Me either. I haven't bought one yet.
Oh, well, continue that trend. Don't do it. Get physical copies of the DS games or wait till they come to the 3DS. Don't support this. I don't
understand why they didn't bring them to the 3DS. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, I agree with that for sure. So yeah, we're going on strike, Nintendo. Actually, you know, if games come to the, like, there was a Fire Emblem game, right? The original remade.
Yeah.
For the DS. If they put, because a cartridge of that, I think, is pretty expensive. If they put that on the Wii U Virtual Console, I'd get it in a heartbeat.
I would love that series. I would much rather see things like hidden gems or games that are hard to find put onto the Virtual
Earthbound.
Console.
Like Fire Emblem.
Like, yes, exactly. Like Earthbound. Like Fire Emblem. Like, why are we getting Mario Kart DS?
Yeah, that's question. It's kind of dumb.
That, you can find that local anywhere for under $20 if you really want it. And if not, then you can just play Mario Kart 8.
Yeah.
Or 7 even.
Some of
or
those
seven.
Virtual Console games are kind of like, why did you put that one on there?
We have Super Mario World for the NES. And then we also have Super Mario World for the Game Boy Advance.
Yeah, like, what's up with that?
Why? What are you doing, Nintendo? Who's okaying this?
Well, now that we're jogging, now that we've kind of veered off toward Virtual Console, I actually put a bullet point on the notes talking about Virtual Console. Is there going to be any Virtual Console news?
There better
at
be
E3?
Something.
GameCube? That's the only thing I can think of.
Ooh,
I don't.
That'd be good.
I don't even want to see GameCube at this point anymore because they don't support the consoles that they already have
True.
Well enough.
True.
So I don't want GameCube. I don't even want them. I want them to take back the Nintendo 64. I want them to take back the DS. If you're going to go ahead and move forward with the Nintendo and the Super Nintendo, then hit those things hard and give us games that we don't see every single day. Like,
yeah.
We need them to care about Virtual Console like us as the fans would care about it. And right now they look at it as a corporate entity. And it just looks tired. And it looks sad. You know, and unless they do something exciting, I don't think that anything will happen unless, and this is the big, big unless, the Nintendo loyalty program somehow mixes in with the Virtual Console in a very big way. I'm talking, and this is left field, huge, dumb, crazy idea prediction. We will see a loyalty program that turns the Virtual Console into a Netflix streaming program where you can play NES games, Super NES games at your heart's leisure for X amount of dollars a month. That also fits into, you know, well, not a month, but yearly, similar to how PlayStation Plus does it, where you're getting all these games that you can play as long as you're a member of the service.
Yeah, I can see that happening. I don't know if I like it. I mean, I like owning the game instead of kind of like renting it. Almost.
Yeah, but the PlayStation Network does allow you to, for X amount of dollars a year, I guess. I don't subscribe to any of that stuff. I'm all Nintendo all the way, usually. But it does allow you every month to pick from a certain amount of games and get some for free, right?
Yeah.
Yes, PlayStation Plus is the greatest value in video games today. With that said, it also hurts the value of the games that you're getting for free. And I mean that because you're not paying money for these games, so the drive that you used to have to play something, because partly you're spending your hard-earned money on it,
yep.
Part of that drive is slowly diminishing. I have games on my PlayStation Plus account that I got because I'm a PlayStation Plus member. I don't know if I'll ever play them. You know, and that kind of goes back to the point of, like, I don't know if I ever would have bought them to begin with. So where is the benefit? But
so is it a deal? If you're just buying games that you never play, where's the deal in that at all?
It is a deal because it's
if you play the games.
But it's still a deal even if I don't play the games, because for $50 for the entire year, I'm getting over, at this point already, I've gotten over $100 and some odd worth of free video games. And before the end of the year, and before the year is done, I will get over $200 of video games. And if I only play 5 of those for the whole year, the value is there. I just think that it's funny that they're giving us things that we don't have a choice in. And I would be interested to see how Nintendo kind of flips it and kind of turns it and makes it into their own Nintendo thing. But I don't know. It'll be interesting to see that. I just think that we are going to see something of a PlayStation Plus similarity when it comes to whatever Nintendo announces.
Yeah, they need to fix the Virtual Console.
They do. And until they do, I don't want to see GameCube. Because until I know that it's going to get supported, what's the point in getting a bunch? What's the point of getting one game every 6 months?
How many 64 games do we have?
We have three?
Like five?
Five.
Four or five?
And how long did it take? How long did it take for the DS games to finally come? It took months.
And how many do we have of those?
Two? Not that many.
We have like five. And they're all games that you can find relatively easy for the most part. And Yoshi DS, which isn't a good game.
Oh, the Touch and Go? Like,
or yes, why are we getting not good games on this service? It's ridiculous. Like Nintendo, they can't be like, well, yeah, Touch and Go, that's a good one. Throw it out there. See what happens. No! It's a tech demo that was released when the DS was a new thing so people could understand how to use it. We don't need that this far along on the Wii U.
Yeah.
So, no Virtual Console coverage at E3 then.
It better be good. That's all I can say.
And cross-buy. Okay. We need some cross-buy in there.
Yeah, that would be... Wow, that would be good. And Nintendo has dabbled in that, obviously, a little. And so if they announced that for a Virtual Console, that'd be amazing. Moving on with our list. I'm kind of skipping back and forth on here. Donkey Kong is next on the list. Any announcements?
Nothing for the Wii U.
Nothing concrete. I could see us getting some sort of eShop game.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind. Maybe something King of Swing related?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Huh. Yeah, I don't even know about that.
The King of Swing series?
No.
Oh, look them up. Game Boy Advance. Game Boy Advance, and I believe there was a DS one. Was there?
I think so.
I think there is one Game Boy Advance game and one DS game of it. But I could easily see that coming to the Wii U and 3DS as a cross-buy type of situation because they both have L and R triggers, so...
Yeah, you just, like, climb up vines and stuff?
I don't... Yeah, you're moving throughout stages either left, right, and up and down.
It's ringing a bell, okay. So, yeah, nothing big for Donkey Kong. Anything big for F-Zero?
No. Mario Kart's taking the cake.
No. F-Zero died, and Mario Kart was born in its ashes.
Yeah, sadly enough. So Metroid, going back to, oh gosh, I gotta look up the pronunciation again. McCullough's email, he predicts a new Metroid for 3DS and Wii U announced. What are our thoughts on the Metroid series at E3? Anything?
That would be nice. They did do that with Fusion and Prime, didn't they? I mean, they released them very close to each other.
Yeah, they were, I think, same year.
Yeah.
Dang, I should go back and watch some of those old E3s if I can find them. But
you can find almost anything on YouTube. I've gone back and watched a few, and they're really fun to watch.
I like the cringe parts.
Oh yeah, I love it. Just like this is me when I was going skiing. I mean snowboarding. Yay!
I like the Wii drummer dude.
Okay. Oh my gosh, he looked like he was having so much fun.
I've only actually just heard about these things, and yet it's just the thought of it makes me laugh, honestly. So, sad but true.
Look that one up.
But Metroid.
When it comes to Metroid on the 3DS and Wii U, I don't want to spend too much time on it because every year, just me personally is what I'm saying. Yeah, every year everyone's like, oh yeah, this is the year we get Metroid, yay. And here's the thing. It's time that they said something. Like, it's time that they said something. Does that mean that we're going to get it or hear about it or even see it? I don't think so. It's time that they said something, and that's all I have to say.
Maybe okay. Retro? Maybe Retro's working on it?
I don't think so. I think Retro's done. I know it's been 5 years since Metroid Other M, and that was, of course, Tecmo, or not Tecmo. Team Ninja. That was actually 5 years ago now, which is kind of crazy that it's been both that long and that short. Mm-hmm. I don't think Retro's doing it just because I don't know if... I feel like somebody else is going to take the reins and that's what's going to kind of put new blood in Metroid besides the fact that it's been so long since we've seen it. I just feel like, what if Next Level Games is doing that? What if Monsters Games is doing that? Like, there's other studios that have the ability to do something different with it. And even though I think a lot of people want Retro to do it, I don't think they fully remember that, like, the majority of people that worked on Metroid Prime 1, 2, and even 3 now They're gone.
Yeah.
This is not the same studio that made Metroid Prime. I mean, if you want to look at what the new Metroid Prime game is, go play the last Halo game. Because Studio 343 that made Halo, the majority of that team were Metroid Prime people. And that's why
the interface looked like Metroid, didn't it?
Yeah, it did, because it was made by those geniuses. But now we're left with scrap, and I don't mean that rudely. I just mean that it's time that things go in a different direction for lots of reasons. And one reason is because that's not the same studio that it was before.
Plus, they've only had, like, a year and a half, maybe, to work on the game?
Yeah. I want somebody that's had plenty of time, TLC, to put into Metroid.
Yeah.
So on that subject, are we going to see Retro Studios' Wii U game? They are working on a Wii U game.
Yes, we will see it.
Are we going to see it?
Yeah, a trailer.
Yes, yeah.
But we don't know what it's going to be, or does anyone have a guess?
I hope it's out in left field.
I want something, either new IP or something that's so outrageous that we're just like, what? What about Geist, guys? Geist is coming back.
Ice Climbers, man.
Oh my goodness.
Yes, a gritty reboot of Ice Climbers.
I had a sweet idea for that.
It could be dark.
With the polar bears with sunglasses or whatever.
Literally dark. They creep at you in the night, those polar bears with sunglasses.
Oh, boy.
Well, that's one of my most look forward to things, and I do agree with you. Retro Studios game is going to be revealed. Don't know what it is, but it's probably what I'm most looking... One of the biggest things, I guess, that I'm looking forward to. How do we feel about Star Fox on Wii U? What kind of a presence is it going to have?
Big presence.
It will be the game that opens up the digital event.
I agree with that, actually.
There's really no surprise. I mean, just open it up with the digital event. Everybody knows it's coming.
And we all want to see it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We need a trailer.
We need information. We need something exciting. Uh-oh, it's coming to me. I'm blacking out again. Star Fox X F-Zero.
Oh, dear.
You can do the little Landmaster. That's kind of like your car.
Here we go. It's coming together. It's coming together.
How about Project Giant Robot and Project Guard? I put this underneath Star Fox on Wii U purposefully.
I think they're going to be a part of it.
I've heard this talk a few times, actually. I wouldn't be surprised.
I mean, you can't just have a... They need to do more in Star Fox than just the R-Wing stuff. I mean, it needs to be bigger than that.
Yeah, we can't have an arcade shooter. It would not work in this day and age.
Like, so are Project Giant Robot and Project Guard going to be mini-games or games that you access on the main menu? Or are they actually... Surely they're not going to be, like, part of the gameplay, right?
I think they're going to be part of the gameplay. I think we saw a very small, you know, mini-game-esque approach to them at last year's E3. But I think that they're going to be full-featured parts of this game.
Yeah, they're going to go full Power Rangers and, like, morph into the big, giant robots.
I'm liking this already. Come on, keep spilling it.
And then you just start duking it out with
Go, Star Fox Rangers!
Oh, dear. I'm kind of doubtful that it will be integrated that much into the gameplay. Like, I almost feel like it'll be a mini-game, or as in these both of these, I guess, but...
Miyamoto did say that there's going to be, like, a variety of different missions, so you never know.
Yeah, very true.
That would be weird. Project Giant Robot was actually just, like, a one mission out of Star Fox, you guys.
It's kind of like the Abe Lincoln things in Codename Steam.
It is one level in the entire experience. It's going to be a 12-hour game, and there will be one level where you are a giant robot.
And one level where you have to gather, like, four people around you and play the Project Guard minigame.
And that's it.
That'll be another mission.
And then the rest of it is all just X-Wing.
I guess we'll find out. That'll be interesting to find out. So I also put Xenoblade Chronicles X on the list just because I want to know what you guys think about how the presence at E3 is going to be again. My idea on that is that Nintendo of America has put together this all-star cast of voice actors for Xenoblade Chronicles X. Some of them are going to be real big-name people. And they're going to make a big deal about that, and that will... And a new trailer, of course, with some of that English voice acting. That's like, my prediction.
Are you talking about with, like legit actors type situation, or, like, legit
like Troy
voice
Baker?
Actors? Well, Troy Baker is definitely more of, like, a legit voice actor. But I mean, like, actors as in, like, and I'm just throwing this...
Brad Pitt?
It's the first... Yeah, Brad Pitt. That's actually who came to my mind.
Nothing that big, but they'll be recognizable people, or at least they will be people who have starred in things that are Steve at least somewhat Buscemi. Recognizable.
Oh, we gotta get the Shia LaBeouf in there? Just do it!
Just do it!
That'd be perfect.
Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah, kind of doubtful, but people are gonna... Maybe it'll be kind of like, you know how Nintendo revealed all these speedrunners and Twitch people and even YouTube personality for the Nintendo World Championships? It might be a bit like that. Like, they're announcing these big names, but maybe a lot of people still don't quite know who they are. Yep. But they're still going to be somewhat prolific people.
I only know, like, 4 voice actors.
And Troy Baker is all of them, I believe.
Like, Roger Craig Smith.
Okay.
Don't know who that is.
Who's the one that does Harley Quinn? What's her name?
Oh, she's,
Powerpuff Girls and stuff like that.
Yeah, she was Bubbles.
Yeah,
yep, forget her name. I don't know her. I don't know.
I'm blanking right now.
I could always look it up.
I know Troy Baker. Oh, and Troy Baker.
He's going to be Shulk.
He's going to be, yeah, he's going to come back. He's going to,
DLC,
Shulk's
baby.
Going to have a scene. Yeah. I'm really feeling it.
As the Joker voice.
That'd be great. Okay, so let's move on. Or just real quickly say, do you guys think that there's going to be a Xenoblade Chronicles X trailer during the digital event?
I think we've already... Yes. We've seen a lot of the game already, though.
Yeah, a lot.
Well, it's like I say, I think that it's going to have a pretty dang good English voice cast, and they will put out an English trailer, and somehow it'll be this big epic story trailer, and we'll actually get what is being said, be awesome.
I'm worried that we're actually not going to see that game till later next year, and if that's the case, we will not see a trailer during the digital event, but we'll see it afterwards, either during Treehouse Live or something on their YouTube channel. And if that's the case, we're not getting that game this year. There has to be a trailer in the Digital Direct, 2-3 minute trailer with the release date. Otherwise, we're not getting it this year.
Yeah, the one thing that worried me was during the Xenoblade Direct, it was all Japanese footage.
I agree. It bothered me, too, because I know it just came out in, what, two months ago?
Yeah, in Japan, yeah.
It just came out in Japan, and we still have no English transcribed, even menus. I mean, nothing of that game was in English besides the things that were in English even in the Japan game.
And there's a ton of stuff. There's like a ton of dialogue.
Lots and lots of words.
Yeah, I guess I like to think optimistic about that one. Please.
That's why I was saying like December, maybe.
I want it too.
Very end.
But is it going to be their big holiday game? Could you see them trying to piggyback all of the success of the Wii U on Xenoblade Chronicles X? Because I can't see that. That's going to be Star Fox, right? And if that's going to be Star Fox, when do we see Xenoblade Chronicles X? Because it can't come out when Star Fox is coming out. Otherwise, Star Fox will devour Xenoblade Chronicles X.
Maybe Star Fox will be November?
Yeah. Star Fox has to be November. So I guess that could leave, technically, Xenoblade Chronicles open for December. But does that... I don't know. Is that a Christmas game? I don't know.
I don't know. They
That's one you buy for your 10-year-old kid.
Unless they do.
Well, you know,
they have to announce something.
Stay quiet.
They have to announce a new game at E3 that will release at the end of the year, something like that.
No, I think that's Star Fox. I do. I think we're going to see Mario Maker September, Star Fox in November, and then we're going to see Xenoblade Chronicles X. Oh, maybe in October, right between those two.
That sounds reasonable.
Wait,
I like that.
For Xenoblade, October?
Yeah, October.
Maybe.
But I'm worried. That sounds early, right?
Yeah. It would be awesome if it was, like, the summer.
No way. Missed it.
Yeah. Okay, so let's see. We have, you know, other games. I'm just listing them off now. Fire Emblem plus Shin Megami Tensei Cross Fire Emblem. Project Treasure, Zelda. Oh, I put Zelda U with a question mark here. We have like Amiibo to talk about. Ooh. Is Nintendo going to talk about mobile games at E3?
I don't think they're going to talk about mobile games, but I do think we're going to hear information about the Miiverse. You know, we already have a web version, and we have a Wii U version, and we have a 3DS version. I actually don't think, because they kind of already said we're not going to talk about mobile games at E3. Mm-hmm. I do think that they will spend maybe just a small amount of time saying, like, that thing that we do called Miiverse that people seem to like, we're going to take it serious, and we're going to make a real app It's going to be their very first app for iOS and Android, and it's going to be the Miiverse app. And it's going to work a lot like we use Twitter right now, and I'm going to use Miiverse so, so much.
Then you can see all those dank memes.
Dank. Yes, they're sweet.
Wait a minute, is that what Lonk and Zoraldo has descended to at this point or something?
That's what, why can't Metroid crawl?
Oh yeah, that was like the, that was the beginning, man.
That was the fairy. Okay.
I'm totally out of the loop.
Oh man, just funny kids getting into gaming.
All right, so anything else? I think obviously the new Fire Emblem is going to have a presence at E3. I think it'll make its way into the digital event.
Shin Megami Tensei 1 too.
Yeah, probably. Even though I'm not excited at all for that one. Stupid crossovers.
What I think
that
they'll
weird.
I think they'll announce some like Fire Emblem characters that will be in there. Maybe like Roy and Marth. They'll have like a prominent role or something like that.
And Ryu. I mean, yeah.
Oh, that came from out of nowhere.
That'd be pretty great.
I know we haven't talked about amiibo support, but I could see that game having amiibo support.
Oh, yeah. The Marth, Robin, Lucina. The ones that you can't find.
Yeah, exactly. I got a Lucina. Yes, I'm still happy about that. anything on Project Treasure? I'm going to say yes. Hopefully they'll have something better than the trailer that they
I don't know. Do you see that getting... are we talking about E3 in general, or are we talking about the digital event? Because I don't know if I see that getting talked about during the digital event.
Yeah, kind of both.
Because didn't at the end of the trailer it said more information in the summer?
Well, yeah. It practically is summer.
Is it?
It probably came out during the summer.
When's summer start?
Well, technically, June 21st is the beginning of summer.
Oh.
Well, so there you go.
Project Treasure. Too bad. This is my crazy, crazy talk. This is an amiibo prediction. I don't even know if I want to say it.
I want to hear this, okay. Man.
I do too. I'm excited.
Okay, there's going to be an NES controller amiibo.
Yes!
What?
Oh.
Yes! I love this idea. What is it used for, Holly? Tell me.
I don't even know, man. Something to do with the Virtual Console, possibly. Something to do with, something like Nintendo's Greatest Bits or whatever that game was that kind of sucked.
Terrible. But no, it's going to be awesome, and I want it. Make this a reality, people.
Well, I was just thinking about, like, the patent renewal, and I know that we wrote that off as, you know, like, it's just something that they have to do at once every so many years.
Eternal Darkness?
But you never know. Eternal Darkness.
Yeah, that gets renewed every other year.
Yeah, so, but, you know, I thought that's a slim possibility. I'm pretty sure there was another thing that made me think that might actually happen, weirdly, but...
Well, other than it's a good idea?
Tom Nook amiibo.
Yeah, other than that. A what amiibo?
Tom Nook.
Yeah, I could see something like that happening eventually.
Because he does, like, there's, like, a little silhouette on, like, the amiibo artwork of Tom Nook. I don't know.
I think they're more likely, yeah, I guess that does have a, at least you have, like, a reason that might happen. But if they were to do an Animal Crossing amiibo, besides, obviously, the villager for Super Smash Brothers, I think they'd make an Isabelle one. She's just a really
popular character for some reason.
I don't see them doing, like, a full-blown bunch of figurines for Animal Crossing. That would be, like, relegated to the cards. Just, like, the main people they'll do figurines for. Maybe.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be kind of sad, though. I'd love to see an Isabelle amiibo.
Well, like, maybe we'll get something like that eventually, just not this soon, right? That's what I'm thinking.
They'll announce an Isabelle amiibo along with Animal Crossing for Wii U.
And Rossetti. Yes.
And Rossetti.
Oh, I like Rossetti.
Just because they put him in Monster Hunter.
I got a question for you guys. Do you think that we see something new that's done with amiibo this year? Like, do we see something besides the cards and the figurines? Like, are they going to have some sort of interesting hook that's really going to pull us into amiibo, like an amiibo game?
That's what I was thinking. That's the only thing I can really think of is like amiibo land kind of thing. Like Skylanders or something like that? I don't know.
Yeah, closer to Skylanders and Disney Infinity than Nintendo's Greatest Bits was. That was so horrible. Okay, I played that game for less than half an hour and I already hated it.
It wasn't a game. It was
It's glorified demos.
Glorified demos, yep.
Not exactly. Even, yeah, which isn't even a very good idea. I got Legend of Zelda A Link to the Past on one of my amiibo, which is kind of nice. I've never played that through that game significantly. The second snapshot or scene or whatever that it put me in, Like, I just got my butt kicked right off the bat. I was like, well, that was dumb, and I haven't even tried it since, because I thought, because I realized that that whole snapshot, you know, scene by scene thing was a bad idea after I realized, like, if you're just thrown in the middle of this boss battle and get your butt kicked,
doesn't even,
how are you going to feel about it?
It doesn't even, like, give you an example of honestly what the game is like. It's just, it's a bad idea in general.
Yeah, I don't, I didn't download it.
Didn't even bother downloading this free thing.
I should have done. I should have been just like that.
Yeah, I kind of agree. Actually, I should delete it off my system, out of my account.
Get it out of there.
Just pretend like it never happened.
Going on strike, man.
Anyway, so what are the odds of an amiibo game along the lines of Skylanders and Disney Infinity? What are the odds of that actually happening, though?
It needs to.
Is it just a hope?
It needs to, but I do think that it's not going to happen, right? Like, I think that, I can't tell for sure, but I think you kind of agree with it's a good idea and it kind of needs to happen, but I don't see it happening.
I agree with that, pretty much.
Unless they do unless Nintendo thinks it's something really crazy and unique, that's what I want to see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's got to be different from Disney Infinity and Skylanders. Otherwise, nobody's going to pay much mind to it.
Does it, though? I just want an excuse to use my amiibo that I already own in a compelling way.
Mine are collecting dust, man.
They are. Like, I love the look of them. I just bought the Pac-Man, and he looks like an awesome 3D figurine. Like, I love him. He's awesome, and I really like collecting them. But I want to do something with them. And the Smash usage is lame. It's not exciting for us as adult gamers. And even though I understand that games are meant for kids, but they're also something that adults do in their pastime as well, this is not a compelling reason for me to use them. And I want something.
I'm not an adult, apparently, then.
Smash usage is a good idea?
Well, I didn't think it was necessarily a grand idea, but I like using my amiibo. I was playing with my Lucina amiibo just earlier today, and I can't wait. I currently have 5 Super Smash Bros. Amiibo. And once I have 8, I'm going to put them all in an 8-player Smash and just see who comes out on top. And I think I'll find that interesting and fun.
For how long, though? Because that's what
that's
I did.
A good point.
I did that for a little while, and I got my Little Mac, Mario, Peach, Kirby, and I'm trying to think of the very first few that I got. I got them all to level 50. And I was like, oh, yeah, these are pretty cool. And then as I stopped using them, I'm like, you know what? That was lame. Like, I would rather go online and play against real people. I'd rather play against my daughter. I would rather play classic mode. I'd rather play anything else besides, I don't know.
I guess it could be fun if you're playing with friends or something and you throw your amiibo in. I guess that could be fun.
I wish they
just to see whose amiibo comes out on top. Yes! Mine won!
Yeah, but how often do we actually have the ability to do that anymore?
Not much. I haven't done that.
I mean,
myself.
I hate to bring down the room, but we're not 10, 12, 13-year-olds anymore that go to our friend's house to play video games. Like
Hey, there's always the Zelda Symphony concert in Salt Lake City.
Bring your Wii U.
Which you're going, right? Well, we only need our 3DSs.
Your new 3DS.
Bring one of your amiibos.
When is the Zelda Symphony coming to Salt Lake?
Salt Lake. October. So it's a while, but we could try that.
Maybe.
Anyway, so those are our, I think, E3 predictions. I don't know. I think we've covered a lot of things, enough things. I thought in the middle of our podcast here, which it's getting pretty lengthy as it is, but we're still doing this, man. We would throw in a That's on Miiverse section.
I'm getting hungry, man.
For those of you who follow Bradley's channel, you know that he does these That's on Miiverse specials, and they're hilarious. Love every single one of them. They make me laugh every time. And if you haven't checked that out, go do it. It's hilarious. So I actually pulled 3 quotes from Miiverse, from 3 different Miiverse communities for Bradley to read for us. So do you want to quickly just go through, tell us what the community is, just so we have a little bit of context, and then read those crazy suckers out for us.
In a crazy voice?
Yeah, as crazy as you can possibly get.
Put me on the spot. Okay. Okay, the Super Smash Bros. Community. Here we go. Zero Suit Samus, meet me in the back room. Now the Captain Toad community. Yeah, I completed 100% true. Finished episode 2. Got 3 stamps, a star thing, and the pixel. Toad,
I'm trying to hold in my laughter here.
And then, finally, Tomodachi Life Community. Who wants to be my boyfriend on this game?
Oh, and that's on Miiverse. Oh, man. Thank you so much for that. Oh, good little break in the podcast here.
Oh, if you want to see the greatest Miiverse community, though, and I mean this wholeheartedly, please go and look at Family Tennis SP.
That's random.
Please go
Family
to...
Family Tennis SP.
Go. I reviewed the game, and because I did, I was posting things on Miiverse for it, and I asked one question with the character select screen up, and I said, who do you like? And some of the comments I got was, Sarah and Billy. Billy has swag, and Sarah is hot.
Yes.
Oh, I'll have to look that one up.
Yes, there's some... one of the characters' name is actually Mom, and this guy named Matthew says, Mom, she's smoking hot.
The Splatoon community has been pretty spot on, too.
Oh, they've been good. They've been so good.
Oh, man.
I love Miiverse. We'll have to... I love it.
Yeah, I wish we could just do this, like, for the rest of the whole episode. But you... For those of you who enjoyed what you heard here, go to Bradley's channel.
I do some raps, man. I do some Miiverse raps.
Yeah, amazing, amazingly funny stuff. So, all right, we're going to finish out, though, on some listener comments and questions. We'll try to cover this somewhat briefly. From Mike McSurdy, we got a question / comment, long comment followed by a question. He says, Splatoon's second DLC stage hits tonight, and that was June 10th. This is going to make two new stages and at least two new weapons in 14 days since launch. With so many known DLC things coming and the friend battles not coming until August, can Splatoon even sustain itself until then with this speed of content generation? Surely they'll run out of new content to keep the game interesting before August, and there'll be a severe dip in enthusiasm.
Bradley, me and Holly here, we've talked, you know, to the teeth about Splatoon and our opinions and our thoughts and how much we love the game and what we think about it. But I would love to hear, what's your overall opinion of, you know, the content level of Splatoon and how they're rolling things out like this?
Okay, well, let's see here. I think there's a lot of content already in it when you account for, like, the single player and then how long it takes to level up your Inkling and unlock all the weapons. Like, that's, like, over 20 hours, I feel. But... the restriction of, like, two maps for, like,
four hours.
Yeah, it's... you play, like, the same map over and over and over, and it just kind of gets repetitive.
And especially on the days when you hear that there's a new stage that comes out, and you're like, oh, boy, I really want to log in today to go play that new stage. And guess what? Guess what two stages are available? The old two stages! Yeah. What use is a new stage if I can't even try it?
Yeah.
Well, you know what I noticed today while I was playing? Like, when you're waiting for people to join your battle, basically, down in the bottom left, it shows you the two stages that it's going to pick from randomly.
Yeah.
Well, in that box, there's actually quite a bit of room below those two stages.
Yes.
So maybe there are plans to make it three stages in the future.
I think they need four. I think that three would still be too little. I think four is the minimum number.
Like, I don't know why they have that in the first place, though.
Well, me and Holly talked about this once before, and this is my personal, like, conspiracy theory of it. If they know what two stages are going to be used and played, they can divert all of their servers to only support those two stages at any given time to help with the server load. So instead of trying to support all these stages, and maybe there's, like, two of them that don't get played very much, you know, they're still diverting power to make sure that people are able to play on those stages, they can take all the power that they would normally put on all these stages and only put them on these two stages to give the most, you know, the most lag-free experience possible, you know, depending on people's internet connection, of course. But from their end, you know, hopefully there's less disconnects, less communication issues, you know, all those things, because all of their energy and power are going to these two maps.
Yeah. I am liking how fast they're releasing all the content, though. I wasn't expecting that.
I didn't think that we'd going to get... We've gotten a stage weapon every week so far.
Yeah. Well, I think that's kind of actually what Mike is worried about. Like, it's coming out so quickly. Is it all... I mean, are we just going to get those five stages that we were promised, and then it's like a month until friends-only mode comes out? You know, are people going to get bored with the game by the time friends-only comes out? So is Friends only going to be like a big deal or not?
I think that should have been in. The game to begin with. The Friends only part.
Here's my question to you guys: Mario Kart 8 released with no knowledge of DLC at all, and by the time they announced the DLC, I would say that a few people had kind of, fell off the wagon a little bit and didn't play it as much. But as soon as they talked about DLC, all of a sudden people started playing again until the DLC came out. And then they kind of fluttered off as they played it. And then when the new DLC came out, once again, it had this big resurgence. Do you think it's better to release content weekly like this? Or is it better to give that spacious room that allows people to kind of get bored? You know, it allows you to get bored with the game just so you can come back and enjoy it again.
I don't know.
I don't either, but so far I still really like Splatoon.
Yeah, me too.
I'm not bored with playing the game. I'm bored with the stages they give me to play the game.
Yeah, online. That's the only problem I have. It's good in short bursts.
I don't think I could not see myself playing online. I don't think I've played online more than 45 minutes, maybe.
Yeah, I played the same map like 5 times in a row. That's not cool, man.
It's not cool. Not cool at all.
Huh. Well, I actually got on today, and yeah, I was kind of actually thinking the same thing, I must admit. What I'm getting bored with is losing. I've had a really busy last couple of weeks, so I haven't, I guess, gotten up to the same skill level as everybody else. So I jump back on Splatoon today, and I'm just getting last place every dang time. So
I don't know.
Don't know what happened.
Depends on your teammates, I guess.
It does. Yeah. And then so I don't mind there being random teammates. I think it's fun every time that you play, it's random. But if I'm going to keep playing and the other three people on my team are going to keep playing, I wish they would almost keep us paired up the entire time. At least like they should pair up the same 8 people if possible. I don't know how well this would work out. The same 8 people to play like 2 matches against each other, on each map, and then at the end of that it says, like, this team is the winner, and then it bursts you into a bunch of new random people matches. I don't like that my teammates change every single time. I don't like that even though we're part of a team, it feels like a single-player online game.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't even look who I'm playing with.
Yeah, what's the point?
Sometimes I do. If someone kicks my butt, I'm like, oh, you darn. I'm trying to think of a name that popped up today that kicked my butt. Dan.
You Octoling.
Yeah, but that's against you. That's different than a teammate that I'm kind of considering. Like,
yeah.
You don't have any need to care about anyone on your team because at the end of the day, no one's actually helping each other, which is wrong, I feel. Like, I'm excited for friend battle because I want to play with my friends and set up some sort of strategy. But when you're playing if you're playing with a bunch of random people that you're going to change out on the next round anyways, why bother? Mm-hmm. You know, it really feels like a single player. There's so many small important issues that Nintendo didn't get right. And it's sad because Splatoon is such a good game.
Yeah, it's like I think it's one of their best new IPs in a while.
Oh, it's their best. This is a better IP, in my opinion, than Pikmin. This one
really?
This has bigger... longer legs, and it could mean a lot more to them in the future. Pikmin was a device of the GameCube, and it worked well for what it was. Splatoon, we could see on the next 5 Nintendo consoles, and it would fit at home.
Yeah, I think Pikmin's more of a niche kind of game.
And this one doesn't have to be a niche, but they're almost making it a niche.
It's funny what direction that conversation took. So it isn't even about like the speed of content generation, it's about those little problems that the game started out with in the first place. So
I think it's fine.
Yeah, I still have fun playing it. Little problems, too bad Nintendo didn't think about those in advance. But anyway, our next comment comes from Cody Hirsch. He asks, well, he says first, I wish I had more time to enjoy great games. How do you balance family, school, work, and still game? It's a good question.
It is a good question. And Holly, how do you do it? How does Holly
How do I do it?
Do it.
Well, let's see. I've got 2 part-time jobs, and I'm also very active in my church. That's kind of a big thing for me. So, I stay up late a lot. Dang.
I think that's going to be all of our answer.
Yeah, I stay up late.
Yeah.
This is a great question, actually, for you, Bradley, because you have this YouTube channel, and I imagine that takes a lot of time and effort. Is that, do you find it hard to balance, or?
Balancing playing games?
Actually playing games versus, you know, just working on your videos. Sometimes I feel like blogging, actually. Like, I'm just like, sometimes I wish I wasn't a blogger so I could play the games that I'm writing about.
Yeah, that's how I feel sometimes. Like, I review the games so I get to play them, but you're playing with, like, a different mindset.
Yes, you do. You completely do, because you're almost objectively playing them, which sounds weird because, I mean, as gamers, we kind of do that no matter what, but, like, you have to objectively play it. So there is at no time you can turn your brain off and just play the game. It's such a different experience. Like, here's my question about this to you real quick, Bradley, is you get a few games, I'm assuming once in a while, to review that get sent to you for review, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that takes away... That doesn't take anything away from the game. But if that game wasn't sent to you, sometimes you may or may not have bought it, and you would have been playing something else. So how do you balance the games that you have to review compared to the games that you just want to play?
It depends on, like, how big the game is and, like, how popular it is. Like, which one's going to get the most views, I suppose.
Yes, yeah. Hmm.
So that's how I prioritize, I guess.
You have to look at it slightly from a business perspective with where your standpoint is. I mean, the same thing with me on the website. If there's going to be, it's kind of what like with the leak, right? I don't want to write about the leak. I don't like the leak. I don't want to know about the leak, but I have to report about the leak. And it's the same thing with like a controversial game that comes across your doorstep. Even if you don't want to play it, you're almost required to play it because you have to get that out so that people can hear it.
Yeah, it's like when I get multiple games to review at the same time. It's like, oh, I got to finish this game, then I got to go to the next one. Got to finish it real fast.
And you almost lose enthusiasm for gaming.
Yes.
Ironically, sometimes. That's how I am with Zelda 2. I feel like I need to play Zelda 2 for my retro redux.
That's why I like reviewing indie games, because they're so short.
Yes.
Yeah.
6 to 8 hours is so much more enduring than 30 hours.
Yes.
It's sad. I mean, you'll give a game like such a good review, and yet there's almost something in you that didn't even like playing it in the first place. Like, you're analyzing it, saying like, yes, this is a good game, but I almost wish I could have been playing, you know, that game I really wanted to play. Like Fire Emblem. That's all I've been playing for the past like 2 weeks, guys.
Wow. Awakening?
Fire Emblem Awakening.
She loves this game, Bradley. Loves it.
How many hours have you clocked
don't
in?
Don't ask.
Probably well over 300.
Yeah.
Total.
Yeah, I've got that Fire Emblem Awakening game, and I played lots of times in that.
Play on tense mode.
Anyway. Oh, I don't actually experiment with the harder modes. I experiment with the matchmaking, man. I just want to listen to what the characters say to each other.
So, I have a wife, I have an 8-year-old daughter, I have a 2-year-old daughter as of 4 days ago, and I have a 5-month-old daughter.
Oh, you got a lot of juggle, man.
I do. I have a job that luckily I only work 3 days out of the week and I have 4 days off. I try to write for the website. I try to do a podcast with Holly every week. And sadly, to be a good husband/father, I have to put gaming to a certain extent on the back table. But gaming is much more than just a pastime for me. It is legitimately a passion of mine. It is my hobby. It is something I grew up with, and it's something that I plan to do long after the point when I'm 50 years old and people say things like, gaming's for kids. It's what I enjoy to do. It's what I want to do. It's what I like to do. And the fact that I get to write about things, occasionally review things early, like, this is part of that passion, and it makes me want to excel at it. But I have
and
to remember...
And stay up till 1 a.m. for it.
And stay up till 1 a.m. playing Splatoon, because, by gosh, I will win Splat Zone. I know I can do it. But there are big games, daunting games like RPGs, that sadly I can't do what I wish I could do with them. You know, Xenoblade Chronicles, I was really gung-ho, and I put 6 hours in very quickly, and now it's just kind of sitting on the back burner. Because if I only have 4 hours in a day to play a video game, I kind of want to do that with Splatoon right now. And, you know, I have to balance it, and it's difficult, but that's where the most important part of all this comes in. Only play the games you want to play. Don't buy something you're not actually interested in buying just for it to sit on a shelf. If you do that, realize that you don't have the intentions to do it right away. Maybe long in the future you may do that, but play the things you want to play. Don't,
Mr. PlayStation Plus, you have like $150 worth of games that you'll never play.
He's obligated to get these games.
It's only $50 a year. I have to do it. I have a huge library of things that I like to look at.
Yeah, I'm scared of subscriptions. That's my answer to that previous question. Was that a question? Where on earth is that in the notes?
I don't know.
I don't think it
was. Anyway. Oh yeah, the loyalty program. Predicting whether the loyalty program. Yeah. That's my answer to that. I'm scared of subscriptions.
Play the games you want to play.
I'm super interested in hearing what that is.
I am,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, boy. What a podcast, guys.
Yeah, we actually have one last question that I want to try to squeeze in.
Oh, snaps.
Yeah, it was way up early in the notes with McCall. Oh, my. I have to refer back to this
with
every
MK.
single time.
His name is MK. Her name. His
MK.
name. Their name.
His name.
His name.
We're friends on Facebook.
Okay, MK.
That's where all are.
We play Fire Emblem together.
If they could.
McCalla. I think, let's see, what do we play together? I'm not even sure what his Nintendo Network ID is. But anyway, McCalla. Okay, so his last question. Last but not least for the podcast. Do you think the gaming community has grown or diminished in population over the last 5 years?
It's grown.
It's grown?
Diminished.
Well, there's... Well, there's two sides of this story, right? There's the hardcore gaming, the casual gaming, and the Call of Duty gaming. Okay,
a good point.
Let's not call it Call of Duty gaming. Let's call it competitive gaming.
Okay.
Because there are esports, however you want to refer to it as. Casual gaming was huge 5 years ago. Humongous. And it's still big, but it's all in cell phones. Now, the hardcore gamers, which I would probably consider us as the hardcore gamers, I think that we've stayed at a steady growth of being the same size that we've always kind of been, never getting smaller, never getting bigger. We are what the hardcore gamers will always be. But there's been a new sec of things that have happened since the 360, really, you know, the same time as casual gaming, honestly, and that's the competitive gaming. Competitive gaming are the things
the dude
that
bros.
Are... Not only the dude bros, you know, I think that they get a bad rap sometimes. You know, Call of Duty players are some of the worst, but there's also a lot of people that enjoy Call of Duty for their story. So it's not just the dude bros, but it's just that competitive gaming in general. And
yeah.
Wait, does Super Smash Bros. Count as competitive? That's pretty competitive, right? Or
it's not wombo combos.
Yeah, but it's not that sort of competitive gaming that I'm referring to with this. Like, there's... If somebody
you're talking about
plays,
like online,
not only online, but if somebody only plays Smash Brothers only to play competitively, they're who I'm talking about. I'm talking about the Call of Duty player that never touched single player. All they do is go straight online, and that's all they ever do. That is a esports / competitive gamer solely. Hardcore gamers play the story mode, unlock everything, play the game, beat the game, and then they move on to the next game. You know, Call of Duty players only play Call of Duty until the next Call of Duty comes out.
Maybe it feels there's like so many more gamers now because we're so much more connected compared to what we were.
Twitter,
before.
Man.
Yeah.
You can find people that think the same way, say the same things, and feel the same way. More easy than ever before. I mean, I grew up with online forums and message boards, and it was a much different experience compared to what Twitter is used for today when it comes to connecting with people that are right on your same wavelength. I mean, you can throw something out in a bottle, you know, a message in a bottle, and someone's going to find it, someone's going to read it, and someone's going to retweet and favorite it.
Yeah.
Well, the numbers I kind of look at are dedicated gaming consoles. Obviously, the big three and their systems that they put out. And those, you know, the sales for dedicated consoles like that have gone down.
But cell phone
like
gaming,
gradually, I feel like over the last couple generations,
cell phone gaming continues to grow. You know,
yeah,
smart
I guess,
devices are the new platform of choice because it's in everybody's pocket.
Else.
It's in everyone's pocket.
Yeah, that's why I would say it would be growing because of the mobile market.
Love it or hate it. Love it or hate it.
Yeah, I can see that. But, you know, I guess when I say no, not growing, I'm talking specifically about
dedicated
gaming consoles, which I think, I mean, nothing this generation is going to sell like the PS2 or the Wii or the DS for that matter. So, and that kind of makes me feel a little depressed. But I guess we'll just have to wait on that one. Are there any other comments that you have to get out, have to get off your chest before we close out the show?
DLC's the future.
Yes, I had one more prediction for E3 that we actually kind of skipped over. I just want to say it real quick. When it comes to DLC being the future, as Bradley just so eloquently put, I think we're going to see DLC put in place for older games for the Wii U that we didn't expect coming. For Super Mario World and Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze, I think there's a possibility of both of those games getting some sort of DLC to help revigorate the idea of those games and to make people like me and you, Holly, that, and I'm assuming Bradley as well, that have those games and probably don't play them anymore because we beat them. Not going to give us a reason to go back to it.
Sounds logical, somewhat. I kind of doubt it'll happen at E3, but...
Yeah, it would be nice.
But then again, I'm the one who just predicted that an NES controller amiibo...
I like this idea.
...would happen. I guess you never know. Okay, so before we close out the show, I'm just going to... I've got, once again, my stack of sticky notes with people's names on them. I'm quickly going to announce... Right here on the show, the winner of our third Get Close code.
Drum roll, please.
I don't hear a drum roll. Okay. Here we go. These are the people who basically just sent to us anything, in comment form or question form. So the winner is... I got it. Cody Hurst.
Oh, Cody. Woo! Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks for the question, and Matt will be sending that to you.
I will.
That's your friend. That's a friend of yours, isn't it?
Yes,
right?
This was not rigged or anything crazy like that. He's a buddy
totally
of mine.
Random.
He's a buddy of mine, and I really hope he enjoys the game. I think everyone will. Of course, we did this giveaway with the guys over at, on their Twitter account is @playclosegame. It's a really cool game. Check it out on the eShop. Watch some video about it. It's a multiplayer game where both players are either competing with or against each other, but they're using the same controller. Very cool idea, lots of fun, and there's even a single-player component that they just added recently as well. So, Cody, I will get that code over to you. Thank you so much for playing, and thank you so much for the guys over at Play Close Game for hooking us up with these codes and allowing us to do this big giveaway. So thank you guys so much. And thank you, the listeners, for sticking with us these last 3 weeks as we gave away these codes.
Uh-huh. And for sticking with us for some time to come.
Yes.
And thanks for listening to an extra long show as well. We hope you're all looking forward to E3. And if you're listening to this after E3, I hope you all are enjoying having a good laugh at our predictions. Because they're all just going to be completely wrong, I'm sure. Anyway, so you can send us any further comments or questions at podcast@nintendofever.com. You can tweet Matt or I, or even not necessarily about the Nintendo Fever podcast, but if you want to get in touch with Bradley, you can do that as well. How can they do that on Twitter?
@BradleyCragen.
@BradleyCragen. So, and I'll put, of course, the link to all of our Twitters in the description of the podcast. So definitely look there if you're needing help with your spelling. You can find me at Holly Felmuth. You can find Matt.
@OnlyMattDezen. And yes. Real quick, my Nintendo Network ID is OnlyMatt. Please add me so that we can play against each other in or with each other in Splatoon. But please also add me on Twitter, @OnlyMattDezen, so that if you do join my game, you can hit me up on Twitter and say, hey, I found you on Splatoon. Otherwise, I'll never know. Just saying, because Nintendo.
That single player online.
That's all I have to say, because Nintendo.
All right. And just a quick question for you, Bradley. Is your friend list on Wii U completely stuffed and you're not accepting any friend requests because the limit is 100? A measly 100?
Yeah.
Okay, so we won't even bother giving you Bradley's Nintendo Network.
Well, you can follow me.
You can follow him on that.
Ah, yes, that's true.
It's Bradley News 11, same as my YouTube channel.
Okay. Simple enough. I'm going to friend request you. And all I'm right. going to keep doing it until you accept it. I'm kidding. I guess I'll give my Nintendo Network ID out as well. It is Aeroweth. It is spelled AEROWETH. So let's play some Splatoon. I've got 4 slots left in my friend list, and I'm willing to delete others.
That you don't play with very often. Not because you don't like them.
That's what I did.
Random Monster Hunter people who I added just because, and now I'm like, I don't even play Monster Hunter on Wii U anymore, so I'm willing. So Anyway, so now you know how you can get a hold of us all. Definitely go and subscribe to Bradley's YouTube channel at Bradley News 11.
Yay!
Thanks again for listening to the podcast, and we will talk to y'all later in the next episode. See ya.
Bye! Peace.